Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
This episode is brought to you by Philo. Do you love TV? Do you love saving money? Then Philo is your solution. Philo has shows, movies, and live TV for just $25 a month. You can even try it for free with their 7-day free trial. No contracts, no commitments, no hassles. Just a better way to watch TV. Never miss a minute of shows like the hit docuseries Where is Wendy Williams? Or classics such as Friends. If you can't get enough TV, then there's no better way to watch. Philo has more than 70 channels like BET, MTV, and AMC. And the best part? You can try it yourself with their 7-day free trial. Sign up today at philo.tv/poppods. That's philo.tv/poppods to get 50% off your first month.
Coors Light presents Heavy Montreal, July 28th and 29th, outdoors at Parc Jean Drapeau, featuring Avenged Sevenfold, Rob Zombie, and Marilyn Manson. A weekend of hard rock and metal with Gojira, Emperor, Under Oath, Hollywood Undead, and many more. Festival passes are on sale now. See the full lineup at HeavyMontreal.com. Produced by Evenco.
Hi, I'm Mark Striegel, host and producer of this show since 2005. On this episode, we're going to talk some rock, some metal, and
anything else we feel like.
We're also going to jam some tunes, have a drink, and share some honest opinions. Thanks for listening to the Talking Metal Podcast. Let's get things started.
Hey, how are you? We have a very special guest today, an ex-guitar player of Kiss. His name, Vinnie Vincent. So stay tuned for that interview. It's coming right up in just a few minutes. And before we get into that, I just want to say thank you to a couple people. Mike Luzin, thank you so much for your recent PayPal donation. I appreciate it. And thank you to James Bennett, who recently joined us on Patreon. Thanks to all you guys on Patreon. Really, things are picking up there. And I've been giving you a little exclusive content. I hope to step that up soon. And a couple more special thanks to Randy, who coordinated getting Vinny on the line with me. And also to the one and only John Astronomy, the co-founder of Talking Metal, my Talking Metal brother since 2005, my friend since 1987. John, this interview wouldn't have happened without you, so thank you for coordinating it and putting the ball in motion to get Vinny Vincent on Talking Metal after 13 years. We've been trying to make this interview happen. Thank God. It finally did happen, and thank you to Vinny for talking with me. This is, I love that first Vinny Vincent Invasion record. This is Animal off of that record, one of my favorite records. Followed by my interview with Vinny Vincent, recorded today, April 23rd.
We'll be right back.
great. How are you?
Good, good. Are we still good for the interview?
Ready to go. Got Vinny on the other line. Hold on.
Okay, perfect.
Vinny, I have Mark from Talking Metal on the other line. Mark, this is Vinny Vincent.
Vinny,
hey,
how are
Mark
you?
From Talking Metal.
Yes.
Good. How are you?
Oh, I am great. And
good
I just,
to hear.
I just wanted to say, you know, I flew down to Atlanta in January for the big event, and I was there that first day when you came out of the Eddie Trunk interview and went into the room where we were sitting there, and it was a smaller group that day because the expo hadn't really even officially started at that point. But what an emotional moment for me as a fan, and just thank you for coming back to us after all these years, Vinny.
Emotional for me also, and thank you for that compliment. It was nice to hear something like that. You know, I didn't realize that there would be so many people that would care, but you know, it was nice to be proven wrong, and you know, it was to see everybody showing up and, you know, having that emotional experience with me. So it was a special day for me. It was a special weekend.
Yeah.
And I think it was turning into, you know, a special time overall, because growing steadily since then.
Absolutely. And I know.
So, you know, it's great to be back. You know, it is a really, it's better than it ever was for me right now. So, it is great. There's a lot of new things planned, and a lot of interviews that are going to happen in a way that I was never able to give them before. So, you know, I want each interview now to really be of substance, you know, of real substance, because in the '80s, you know, which was really the last time I gave a real interview, but I can't call them real for a lot of reasons, because the '80s were a time of hype and magazines and, you know, public relations firms and, you know, designing how you're going to talk and what you're going to say. And, you know, it was just a different time and a different setup. So things are a little bit more substantive right now. We're going to try to answer everybody's questions, and I'm talking more than you, so go ahead. You ask the questions. I'm here for you.
Well, first of all, I just wanted to give a little plug that you're going to be in my home state here this weekend at the Chiller Festival, and we can't wait to see you there. So I hope everyone gets down there to Chiller to see Vinny Vincent this weekend in New Jersey. And I also wanted to, you know, there's been a lot of, I heard the Decibel Geek interview and the Mitch LaFon interview, and it's great to hear you talk about the past, but I wanted to start off here today talking about the future. And you know, you're out there, you're doing these autograph and festivals and speaking engagements, and you're doing interviews again. What about new music? Are you planning to release new music? Are you going to form a band? What's going on with you musically, and what can we look forward to musically in the future?
Well, I think it's a two-part question, because actually it's a one-part question with maybe a easily a two-part answer. People want, you know, we want new this, we want new that. So let's say that I've got 3 albums of new music that I've been writing over the past how many, whatever.
Right.
Whatever period of time. So let's just say, wow, this stuff shreds, it kicks ass, I'm happy with it, I'm where I'm at, I'm you know, I'm at my peak, whatever. And then you have to go from there to, you know, having it go from demo stage to, you know, putting records out. So when people say they want, you know, well, I'm there with them, because I want also. But, you know, you're looking at about $100,000 minimum cost,
right,
to put records out. You know, it's just that simple. So I mean, this is speaking honestly, you know. So how do I go from here to there to getting new music out? So that's kind of the that's in my, you know, list of things that have to be conquered, you know. There's the okay, we have this needing to go from here to there, and we have production costs. So those production costs have to be tackled and resolved in order for all that music to reach everyone. Now, the way things hopefully can get to that place is by doing some tours that I have been speaking to a few promoters about. Now, those tours are very interesting because there's a promoter who approached me on doing some like a Key City acoustic tour, because they said it's something Vinnie Vincent has never done before, and with emotional response from the Atlanta show, there's an audience for it. And I thought, you know, how interesting, you know, I just picked that guitar up for, you know, just basically was out of nowhere, which was not something I was scheduled to do. I wasn't contracted to do it. But you know, it was like, enough of talking here, you know, there's a guitar sitting there, you know, here's some songs, you know, whatever. You know, it was unrehearsed. So, you know, the response was, you know, very emotional. So, and it was received, you know, in a really positive way. So yeah. I've had people say, look, you know, this would really be something very special to take to the fans. We'll do Key Cities with that. Once that's done, Vinny needs to do a guitar shredding tour, because everyone is asking for Vinny to put, you know, go out there and kick ass. Now, people don't realize that, you know, just because I'm playing acoustic guitar in a set, that, you know, they're wondering, does Vinny play electric guitar? You know, I mean, I hear the most absurd comments, because, you know, it's a come like a, it's a, what you see now is what, as far as the mind goes, you know, oh, I see Vinny with an acoustic guitar. Does that mean Vinny doesn't play electric anymore? Which is completely ridiculous. So they have to deal with that. And, but, you know, it was the same with Gene and I. We were playing acoustic guitars, and it's like, well, what? I can't play acoustic guitar,
yeah,
you know, with a friend of mine. You know, I've got to play electric guitar with. That's not the scene there. It's not the scenario. It's not the setup. Setup was just a couple of friends getting together. And I mean, when we wrote all of those Kiss songs, we wrote them on acoustic guitars. I don't think there was an electric guitar around. If it was, it was, so it wasn't even plugged in. So it's just the way, you know, it's just the setting of the moment. So this is what I've been approached with doing, which is let's do a very unique, intimate evening with Vinny, you know, we'll do a musical acoustic set, and then we'll do some, you know, an electric tour. Now, if those come together, it lays the groundwork to get the new music out. But we're looking at a while, you know, we're not looking overnight. And, you know, it's just the downside of it all, because there's no record companies left. And when people are doing this now, they're doing it themselves. They're putting records out themselves. Or they have people, they have money people that are just putting up whatever they need to do this. Now, I'm in a in-between world here, which is, let's, you know, I'm here. I do what I've always done. And it's going out to the fans, you know, whoever is out there that wants what I do. So how do I get from here to there? And that's been the question, because this has only been about 3 months since Atlanta. And
right.
We're just, you know, it's coming slowly, but, you know, the demand has been quicker. The demand has been higher than my ability to get it out quickly, you know? So if there was an enormous amount of money that had no, without limitation of how much there was, this would probably still take a year in the making because I work at my own pace in the studio, and you know, I like to achieve the goal that I set out to achieve. And with music, especially the kind of music I do, just can't be rushed. You know, Tom Scholz from Boston used to work, you know, painful, tedious, long, you know, long periods of time to achieve the records he wanted to achieve. I never had that chance. Usually, you know, in the records where you're forced to make something in 3 months, you better, you know, like it or just learn to accept it, because if you don't reach your goal, it's like too bad, you know, should have been great, but it wasn't. Should have stopped the recording, but you couldn't because of this factor, that factor. I don't want to do that again. I want to make sure that when I put a record out right now, that it's what I want, because if it's what I want, everybody will love it forever. It'll be a classic. So that's that in as much of a nutshell as I could put it in for you. But I love to give you like instant answers, because those instant answers, sure, got it, ready, gonna be out, boop, boop, you know, right. And that, yada, yada, whatever. But I have to tell you how it is. Otherwise, it's not going to be an honest interview.
Okay.
And I don't want that.
Right on. I totally respect that. And to circle back to some of the things you mentioned, so there could potentially be maybe first and foremost an acoustic tour, it sounds like. Would you be working with certain musicians? Like we saw, I mean, it was when Robert Fleischman jumped up on stage with you in Atlanta there. I mean, there wasn't a dry eye in the house. I mean, that was a very incredible moment there. Would you consider working with a guy like Robert, or do you have other people in mind, or haven't you gotten to that stage?
Rob is a dear friend. It was emotional all around for everybody. So it was unexpected. And when he showed up there, I thought, "Who you know?" Right. And I looked behind me, and it was him. So very emotional, and you know, him and I really, really got emotional seeing each other again. So I love working with Rob. Always have. I always will. So he would be who I ask to join me in an acoustic set, because people need to hear it. You know, it's a special, very, very special, musical experience that I think everyone should see, and it should happen. So we've talked a few times, and when I have everything confirmed, I'll announce dates, and hopefully Rob will be there to share those dates with all of us, you know.
Awesome.
So I could present this in all the, you know, all of the, you know, special qualities that I see for myself, to share that with the fans. And I think it'll happen. Everything's looking good. There's some other people that, let me put it this way. And as far as my material is concerned, on I'd say more or less the melodic songs, they have an unusual cult following, and you know, they were pretty much, they're out, you know, you can hear bad versions of them and bad recordings on YouTube. I'm the only one with the master recordings of those songs, but you know, I've worked with different singers over the years, and I'd like to have those singers join me for this acoustic set and to perform those songs that are cult favorites. And I would really love to have Vicki Peterson join me from the Bangles to perform the song that her and I wrote together.
Right.
my vision of the acoustic evening with Vinny Vincent would be to have song storytelling, because, you know, everyone loves to know the origin, how these songs happened, where, what was the moment, what were you thinking, what was your life like at that moment, and, you know, some video clips of rare photos and times that were captured on film. So, this is what I'm looking at as actually happening. And if the promoters can pull it off, it should be a really fun time. Now, I'm saying this, probably shouldn't go too far and promise, because I don't know the answers, but
right.
I would love to have Felix Cavalier, a very close dear friend of mine that from Treasure. And Felix is, of course, the genius behind the Rascals and all those incredible hits. You know, I mean, it's like, you know, when I, you know, during my years, you know, in the 60s, it was, you woke up to hearing the Beatles and the Rascals and the Rolling Stones on the radio and, you know, with some other groups, but, you know, you didn't hear one without the other. So, you know, this is a hero to me. So I'd love to have Felix and Jack from Treasure and play a few songs from the Treasure album. So there's some ideas I have, but I think if we can make it work, the acoustic tour would be a lot of fun for everybody.
Sounds
if we
incredible.
Can't make it work, it'll be just Vinny, but it'll still be fun.
Right on. And then you mentioned that, of course, nowadays in the internet, there's so many comments whenever a video clip is posted or a blog post. And sure, you did some appearances with the acoustic guitar, but people, I guess, are wondering, does he still shred? I mean, you're playing on the Invasion records.
That's
just
the
insane.
One I like. And I like that one. I just like that one. You know?
What you're saying is you can still shred.
Oh, God. They're funny. I mean, it's almost funny you asked me that. But
yeah.
Is that a real question? Is that a real question that needs a real answer?
No.
I'm just wondering, is it like a joke question, or am I supposed to give you a real answer?
Okay.
Because
I'm not sure of. Yeah, I'll take that as a yes. Well,
yeah, how about we do that?
Yeah.
Because awesome. I have to give you just, you know, I know you're an intelligent guy, so I got to figure, I don't know how you could lose that, you know?
Right.
I mean, it's like, what do you mean? So when I hear a question, I go, what do you mean? I don't understand that.
Right.
So.
Awesome.
You know. I figure you're a smart guy.
Right.
You know the answer.
Okay.
So I got to explain that, then I just play acoustic guitar. But
right. Right on.
That's what I do. You know, it's what I do. So I play acoustic guitar, you know? Yeah.
Cool.
So what else? I play a little bit of keyboards. Yeah. So does that mean Vinny doesn't play guitar at all anymore? Because that's the next thing you're going to see is if I'm playing a little bit of keyboard on something, someone will
say, oh, yeah.
Vinny doesn't even play acoustic anymore because I saw him on a keyboard. So, you know, I see these comments and I go, this is funny, but I'll stop there, you know?
Awesome. So Vinny, are you working on a book?
You're going to have wait and see. Working on a book, yes.
Cool.
Yes, and the book has all the real answers. The in-depth answers to everything. Everything. Because, you know, when I give interviews, I give, you know, part of the answer, but there's no way you're going to be able to hear everything.
Sure.
Because it's too deep, it's too dark, and it's places that I'm going to go only once, and when I do, it's not going to be in front of an audience unless, you know, until the book actually does come out, because the book on at least where my world is concerned is, you know, I've been away for 20 years,
right.
Not by choosing, but because of events that happened. So those events will be really talked about in uncomfortable depths because it's cathartic, number one. Number two, the fans deserve to know, and I deserve to tell it. And as you know, it's nice to be back, but you can only be back unless the meaning of being back, you know, the reason and the meaningfulness of being back can only depend on the resolve of the past. So the future is dependent on, you know, how the past is resolved. Otherwise, the future's never really sets its pace in firm ground. So in order for me to feel like I'm moving forward, I cannot look back anymore.
Right.
You know?
Right on. Right on. And are you working with
a writer?
So it
has to have some resolve, and that book is my resolve. So hopefully this will happen within the year. I'm not sure how long it will take to author. I have a book writer that will be doing, talking with me on very deep levels, and we'll get to it. We'll get to it, but it's going to be a very interesting read, you know, and something that will be not a one-time picking it up and never reading it again. So I'm pretty sure that someone is going to grab this, and if I have my way, which I will, it will be something that I want to read a few times, wow. You know, even though it's whatever happened to me happened. I want to make sure that it's compelling enough where I get to pick it up and not put it down for a while. And if I can do that, it's almost like a record. If I could listen to my own recordings, which a lot of times are difficult,
sure.
But if I can listen to my own recordings and actually enjoy them, then I know I've done something that is satisfying to me. So I want the book to be that way. And there's a lot to tell. And, we're just hoping that all of this does happen the way we're planning on it happening, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just going to go with it on those terms. And I'm sure we'll reach that stage.
Awesome.
I'm sure it'll all happen, you know, with the plans, because I think it's meant to happen. I think the tours are meant to happen. I'm going to re-release Euphoria, Speedball Jam, and some other music. Going to release for the first time the Guitarmageddon CD.
Cool.
Now, this is something everybody's been asking for, at least the Vinnie fans have been asking for. I'm the only one that has the master recordings, the master mixes, and the songs where they had ultimately ended up. And it's a nuclear record, atomic nuclear record. The thing is hot. So it'll be coming. You know, we're hoping the summer, late summer, all of this will be out. So there'll be new music, a tour coming, a Shred tour coming, and then hopefully the new music that's in the can here. And, if it all goes the way I'm talking to some promoters, then we're going to achieve it all. It'll be there for everybody to enjoy, including me. And I'm having a ball meeting with fans now. So all of this is new for me because I never got to meet the fans. I never got to have a one-on-one relationship with anybody. I never got to really know their names except for a very few. So, this is all great fun for me. It's new, it's fun, and I'm having a ball. I'm really enjoying myself. Now, that's on the really positive side of moving forward. So, like you said, Schiller Theater show.
Yeah.
Can't wait. You know, we're leaving in a few days, and, these shows have been a lot of fun, a lot of fun. I spent a lot of time with the fans because this is the first chance I've really had to see everyone. And they've been, full of love and respect, and they're courteous, and we get to talk about a lot of stuff, and I'm having a great time. I must say that. So I thank all the fans for coming. I thank so many people for being, we got almost 10,000 people on the Facebook, on my Facebook page right now in a few months.
Awesome.
So there's a lot of dedication and loyalty, and I find like I'm having a one-on-one with just about everybody there. So it's a new world. I love it. I love it. I love the fans. I love it loud. I love it soft, you know,
yeah.
And I love it, in every way that I get with the fans. They're just full of passion, and I could see it in so many comments. So we're having a great time. We're going to be doing Australia, right? I'm going to go on a limb and saying the Australia tour will happen this summer because we're getting close to, finalizing, a tour with a promoter there. So I know I'm doing all the talking, but
yeah.
There's a lot you're asking me here and a few questions. So I'm trying to cover everything.
In the 20 years where you weren't really in the public eye, were you aware of what people were speculating and saying about you online? I mean, we heard so many rumors. Did you listen to any of that, or were you kind of just unaware of what people were saying?
I heard some of it, but the simple answer is some of it I heard, you know, everything from, you know, from I've become a Martian to, you know, to Loch Ness Monster to flipping hamburgers and, you know, actually all of that sounded a whole lot better than what was actually happening to me.
Really? Okay.
So, I think actually the things that I've heard being said about me were much more enlightening and happier than the situation I was finding myself in. So, and plus, you know, a lot of ugly things happen and you get crucified instantaneously. You know, it's an instant blacklist, an instant hatred. And then the narrative goes, you know, all over, it goes to the left, and you think trying to pull this to the right is impossible. So once it goes there, it's time to, you know, either disappear for good because it's not worth coming back. It's not worth trying to, you know, turn this thing around that is so cancerous, you know, that it's not worth it, you know. Or you just let it go and see what happens. And I think ultimately that is what happened. You know, I did let it go. I said, I'm gone. You know, there's no reason to come back to this. I mean, why would anybody want to come back to this? You know, the world's changed. People's changed. You know, music's changed. There's no record companies anymore, you know, per se. There's no record stores anymore. But that's okay. You know, you can get past that. Is what's the people like? You know, it's like waking up out of a coma and then finding out that you're not, there's no such thing as human beings left.
Right.
So when I showed up in Atlanta, I didn't know what I was going to see. So, you know, I came back from a very, very, very disfiguring, ugly time. And, you know, just to see that, to see, you know, people that, you know, still cared. So, you know, one thing that followed everything else. And I said, you know, I'm going to stay. I like it.
That's awesome.
I like what's happening. I'm going to stay here.
That's
awesome. So that's where we are right now.
Cool. Well, I know we're at about 30 minutes, which is what I had with you today, but real quick before I let you go, I know one thing you spoke about in Atlanta was just your love of dogs and animals. Are you still working with rescuing dogs and doing work with dogs?
I do. If an animal is having a bad day, I'm having a worse one.
Wow.
So I've got 15 right now, and spoiled them rotten. And, you know, I'm a cat person.
Really?
You know, actually anything. Goats, dogs, horses, cows. You know, I have an unusual respect for life, you know, regardless of what it is. So, but I was that way since I was a kid. So, you know, my mom and dad loved animals. My dad was passionate for animals, and, you know, I was that way. And, but we lived in a 3-family house. It was really hard to have pets, but, you know, I made up for it. You know, I've been rescuing them for the last 20 years, and, you know, they cost me a fortune, but they get fed steak, hamburgers.
Nice.
You know, they got very comfortable lives, and they've got, you know, they have a life of enjoyment, fun, love, shelter, food. So, yes, I rescue anyone I can. So they got a home. You know, I'll try very hard to save an animal, you know. Even these internet stories where they get a dog is returned to the pound or, you know, right, 3 or 4 times, and I'm going, let me have the dog. I'll come, I'll fly it in. I'll send someone to pick it up. But, you know, I don't really know how they make their choices on who they give these animals to, but which is why, you know, anyone that knows who I am and my passion and love for animals that would, you know, accuse and instantly crucify me for a story that wasn't true going back several years.
Right.
Bothered me very much. It was, I think that alone was reason that I said, you know, I don't ever want to see another human being. You know, if these are fans, I don't want to know it. Without ever hearing, you know, my side of it to be accused of that, of something I didn't do. And it wasn't even an accusation. It was something tragic that happened with some, a large dog that I had that killed smaller dogs because of an unfortunate incident that happened where they shouldn't have been out at the same time. But it was without my control, and, you know, that devastated me just years. I was devastated over that.
Right.
Hard to get over losing, you know, your pets over something like that. So, you know, life goes on. You got to keep going. So, you know, I do my best with the animals that are out there that I can save, and that's it.
Very good.
So, yeah, I'm my passion is for them, and they get to hear me play all the time. You know, now can they withstand, you know, turning amps up? It's I got them separated enough where they don't get to hear it, but they're in good hands with me.
Awesome. What kind of gear are you playing out of nowadays?
I always use Marshalls. I've got a 50-watt head that you know, and with all my gear, I've got 4 100 watt heads. I don't need 4 heads, but you know, one head is, you know, what I normally use. 412 bottom.
Right.
And my double V.
Nice.
And you know, all of my distortion stuff, but you know, that's what I do every day.
Right. Do you run a lot of pedals? Is distortion pedal and
stuff? Oh, no. Actually, I'm designing a pedal right now with a company that we're going to be doing some major promotion on very soon. But you know, I've got a lot of my amps are hot rotted. They were really, really butchered. You know, inside. You know, they were. All the normal wiring was changed over many, many years ago. So I've got them really beefed up with different stages of gain and master volumes, lead volumes. And so I don't really need the pedals because I've got these, you know, they're so hot rotted that, you know, nice gives too. Me what I want without any pedals.
Cool.
But, you know, my day consists of, you know, number of hours of, you know, of just doing what I do. I love to play with drum machines because, you know, I'm playing with a drummer. So I set all my tempos and, you know, yeah.
I heard you said on Decibel Geek you actually prefer drum machines over real drummers.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I hate real drummers because it's noise, you know. I like just something relentless. So you put a machine on, you set that to whatever tempo, you set your beat, and it's relentless. It does not vary. And that to me, you know, regardless of what it is, whether I'm playing, you know, it's just my double V, my shred, it's the only word to use anymore, but it's the shred position with the drum machine or it's, you know, writing and the songs laid down with the drum machine. To me, it's the only way. I was listening to a lot of stuff from the Vinnie Vincent archives that I've got, and I've got a lot of Kiss tracks that we recorded with a drum machine.
Wow.
And I'm thinking, well, Jesus, I love this, you know? And I'm listening to the songs thinking, now that's what we should have done. We should have used a drum machine on these tracks instead of a real drummer. But, you know, it's whoever is, you know, whosever decision it is, you know, just turns out that way. But that's how it works for me best. So I would never go back to a real drummer anymore.
Wow, okay.
Never. So, you know, my shredding periods of time here where I practice every day and I play every day. It's always with a drum machine. It's set to all kinds of, you know, tempos that are challenging and, you know, takes me where I want to go.
So if you did do a full-out electric tour, you might not even have a drummer. It just might be drum machine.
Frankly, it would be much more coherent, much more, it would have a relentless feel that you couldn't get from a real drummer. And I would do it that way, absolutely. Okay. You really wouldn't need anything else. It's as long as your drum machine, as long as your sounds are, you know, I mean, there's so much it's come such a long way. The sounds are enormous. And, you know, all you need is a bass player, your singer. You really don't need anything else. So cool. That to me is what I would do.
Right on. Well, Vinny, we are way over our allotted time here. So I just want to thank you once again interview. No, my fault. I keep asking questions.
I had a great time and thanks so much. And I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Yeah,
am I going to see you at the Chiller show?
Yes, you will. Definitely. I'll come say hi.
I am. Sure. Yes. I'm going to see you there.
Yes.
Okay, my friend, thank you so much. And
Thanks, give
my best to everyone out there, and we'll see you at the show.
Little Kiss, featuring Vinnie Vincent here on Talking Metal. Guys, please join us on Patreon. Just search my name or search Talking Metal. Become a monthly pledger there. Buy a Talking Metal t-shirt. You can do that by just hitting me up with a $20 donation on PayPal. And then in exchange for that donation, I'll mail you out a t-shirt. Let me know your size and your address. My PayPal account is my email, which is striglmark@gmail.com, striglmark@gmail.com, and use our Amazon links. Thanks to Vinnie Vincent for hanging out with us today on Talking Metal. Hope to see him next weekend at Chiller. The following weekend, we will see you guys at M3. All right. Later. Boys are gonna rock. Robert Fleischman, Vinnie Vincent, the Vinnie Vincent Invasion.
But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.